Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hope you're having a great Monday. We are started the day off talking about the Dogs who beat Kentucky and got into a conversation about what Carson Beck's doing down there in Miami. It's funny because if he was off to a terrible season, most of the Dog fans would be saying, see, told you we did the right thing.
Yeah, and it's funny because as a couple guys have said, a lot of revisionist history about Carson Beck. You know, he was pretty good. I think he only lost like three games as a starter.
It's true.
But you didn't like his Lambo. You didn't like his girlfriend. He's too highfalutin. You need a simple man as your quarterback. So that's kind of where it's at. But look, Miami, this is where we talked about. Like, Penn State's supposed to be loaded. They're blowing it, okay? Texas, they had to do some retooling like Georgia did. They're struggling. Georgia is okay. You know, they went out, they'll be in the playoff. Even if they get another loss, they'll probably be in the playoff based on strength of schedule. But if you're Miami, you're looking pretty good because you've recruited well and you augmented. You know, Cristobal has built a culture. The only thing about Cristobal in the past, he does some really stupid stuff in games.
It's true.
That cost him a lot of wins. But now it looks like they've actually got it together. Brand new DC. I think the OC's only been there like a year. So they've got some relatively new coaches on that staff.
No doubt. And that's why this college football season has been wacky. I think it's going to continue to be that way.
This Oregon-Indiana game, I never thought I'd be excited about it. Remember we said Oregon joining the Big... This is actually going to be a hell of a game, this Oregon-Indiana game.
It really is. And by the way, if Oregon blows doors, it's a statement again about Indiana and where this program is. But Mike's right. They're both 5-0. It's a top 10 matchup this weekend. Oklahoma's ranked. Texas is not. Red River rivalry happens this weekend. Got to get back. Got to beat these ranked opponents if you're Texas to get back in the mix, Mike. And that includes coming to Athens.
Right.
You can have one loss like they did against Florida, just like Georgia had one loss against Alabama. You just can't stack them. You can't lose to Oklahoma now and then come to Georgia and lose. That's three. You're done. You're not going to the playoffs. So these teams are getting to the situation where some of them at least must win. But let me say this, too, while we're talking about just generally speaking. Remember when we told you Tennessee could still be in the mix? They are. Tennessee guys, they're 11.
They survived against Miss State. Right?
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know what the rest of the season is going to be for them, but, like, as good as they played against Georgia, many people say, you know, hey, they should have won. They didn't. But it's not like they've fallen off. Tennessee is right there at 4-1. And if you were to say, again, this gets back to that head-to-head stuff, Mike, and what the committee is going to think. We hadn't even gotten there yet. But, hey, that's why Georgia was so important for them to beat Tennessee, because what if they end up with the same record?
Right.
You know, and then you're saying, okay, who deserves to be in? What if we're talking about spots 11 and 12? That's the kind of stuff.
I mean, right now, guys, LSU is 4-1, and they can't even run the ball.
True.
And they don't even want to try to run the ball. And a lot of LSU fans are going, you know, same thing that we've said about recruiting, the level of talent. They've got A&M, Alabama, Vandy, still no duck walk. By the way, Johnny Manziel, apparently he became the patron saint for Diego Pavia, who, by the way, grabs D's nuts in front of the Alabama fans. It kind of shows his tookus.
Yeah.
And
hold on to the ball, son.
Yeah, I mean, buddy boy, everybody's pulling for you. The plucky underdog and Vandy, you look like a turd. You know, you actually look like Johnny Football that nobody liked.
No, he did. He turned it over too, which is something he hadn't done. Are you willing to say, before we get into some NFL conversation, because as we're talking about all this stuff, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Georgia Tech is 13th in the country. Mike,
bye week this week,
correct.
So I didn't get to see him.
We didn't see him. We should be talking about Georgia Tech making a playoff run. I know it doesn't I get it. You're laughing. You're saying it won't happen.
There's no reason to be laughing at this because their offense, by the way, is a hell of a lot better statistically than George's is as far as throwing.
Mike.
Even with Haynes King, we talked about his receivers and the skill position. Georgia Tech's doing a better job throwing the ball.
They are sitting right on the outside looking in with still major games in front of them. They get Duke in a couple of weeks. I just feel like this is something else we should be recognizing and talking about. Georgia Tech should be making a run to the playoffs this year.
Right. Again, Duke is, they've had some games they've won that they shouldn't have. They go beat Syracuse. Virginia Tech, they fired their coach. NC State's not good.
Nope.
Boston College, that was kind of interesting what happened with Pitt. They get Pitt. And then Georgia, just don't have, as we said this before the Wake game, and it almost happened. Don't have that Chan Gailey kind of slip up, lose a game you're not supposed to. I don't think Brent allows that to happen. They go as far as Haynes King's legs and, well, his back, because he's carrying them, can carry them.
The other thing about this is, though, when I look at the rest of their schedule with ranked opponents, they don't have any.
No.
Georgia's only one.
I mean, look, it's still the ACC with some good defenses, but you're right. Beating Clemson. Now, the thing, what they need is they need Clemson to continue to win.
Yep.
So that doesn't look like a big whoop. Everybody's beating Clemson. By the way, we didn't talk about this because we're cutting into our NFL blitz here in our 4th-and-1. People are just relishing watching Belichick take it in the shorts.
He's terrible.
And it's funny, I think I don't know if everyone just when he fell off the planet, when he left the Patriots, I think some younger people forget what a jerk Bill Belichick was, to everyone. And now that's why so many people in the media, and granted they've got maybe an axe to grind, but are just loving watching this disaster unfold up in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, it's bad. No, it's all bad. It just is. It's like watching the Jets yesterday. It's all bad.
Well, like I said to you, I think on Friday, if you felt that your Belichick could have him for 2 years, three, year one, one-third of this is already over. How you feeling now?
It's Dukes and Bell. Day-day, man. Let's get to 4th-and-1. Brian Daboll, thanks for nothing. You allowed the lowly Saints to win a game yesterday when we're on our bye week. They turned it over, Mike, 5 times. But I will say this. I do like Jackson Dart. I like what I'm seeing with Jackson Dart. He looks like he's settling in.
Right.
They may have found the quarterback of the future, but that was ugly, man. And they should have, again, Giants probably should have won this game. I want you to hear Daboll because he said the turnovers killed him. They allowed the Saints to come back and win 26-14, first win of the season.
I thought we moved the ball, and then we turned it over. So 5 in a row, which is it's hard to do.
Spencer Rattler, Mike, 225 yards, a touchdown. Jackson Dart had 2 picks, 2 touchdowns in that game. But we're only paying attention because they're in our division, and we know this. I am not going to be foolish enough to tell you guys that the Saints, we're going to blow the Saints out in a few weeks when we play them down the road. Because we know how crazy this is, but this is the thing. That's a bad football team.
No, it is. Spencer gets his first win as a starter. I was joking around with Day-Day. I said, is this going to – remember, think of your storylines, guys. Take it back to August. Well, those Saints are going to – they're going to just stink it up to go get Arch Manning. Well, good luck with that. Yeah. The Jets lose to the Cowboys. Dak looks good. I feel bad. I love that Aaron Glenn finally got a chance to be a head coach, and it feels like it's going to be 1 year and done.
0-5. The only team that has yet to win. Speaking of Dak, MVP. Did you guys hear them chanting MVP on the road? Here's the touchdown to George Pickens, by the way. They made it 30-3. While we're talking about the Cowboys, it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Yeah, Dak, man, is having a great season. And let me get to Nick Sirianni before we play Dak, because this is the other thing. Eagles lose yesterday, Mike. Mm-hmm. Broncos on the road. Broncos are going overseas, 21-17. It's the first loss of the season for Nick Sirianni. And, guys, I don't know if you saw it. The Hail Mary almost happened.
Right.
It goes through the hands. They have it in the end zone. It looks like he's catching it, and then the ball gets tipped away. Here's Sirianni.
I think that the guys have worked extremely hard in preparation. I see the same hunger that was there prior to us winning the Super Bowl. So I don't think it's anything like that. The name of this game is always going to come down to detail and as far as us as coaches and players, we weren't detailed enough today, and they were a little more detailed than us.
Yeah.
There's a wide open sequence, and A.J. Brown's wide open. Unfortunately, Jalen Hurts misses him badly. And, this thing just kind of set up for that soap opera we already talked about last week with A.J. But this is where guys, even Eagles fans, it's amazing. This guy's won a Super Bowl and they still doubt Jalen Hurts. He had some moments where you're kind of like, yeah, he probably would want back. as he said in the postgame.
I agree. Who's your running backs, by the way, in fantasy football? I'm going to get back to the Cowboys because Javonte Williams, 16 carries, 135 yards yesterday. If you're a fantasy player, I don't know if you picked this guy up already, but it looks like they might be relying on him a little bit more. We mentioned the Cowboys beat the Jets. It was ugly. Jets scored 22 points, but they really didn't. It was like garbage time. Here's Dak, that touchdown I was talking about to George Pickens.
Now here's first down, fake pitch, going deep. There's a shot for Pickens. He got pushed. He caught the ball to the post. Touchdown to Pickens. Dagger.
Seems like he's got his stuff together, Mike.
I think, you know, sometimes it's a change of address is all you need, right?
Yeah.
By the way, one of my running backs, I picked him up. Everyone was saying that after the preseason, you got to go get Fred. So, or Bill, I should say, Ja'Cory Krosky.
Oh, yeah.
Merritt.
Yeah.
I had Bill. This dude blew it up. I had 27 points from him yesterday.
Two touchdowns.
Against the Chargers. So that was a wait. And now I never, you think I would start that guy over Derrick Henry when the season started?
No
I did.
Way.
Had
no.
to.
Yeah, I got him too. And I picked him up just a few weeks ago, ironically. When the Commanders were on their way here, because they didn't know who the running backs were going to be, and I needed somebody because my other running back was on a bye.
They're selling these shirts up there in D.C. Bill.
It's great.
Just basically the red with the yellow letters, Bill. But the guy's been killing it. That was an entertaining game against the Chargers. The other storylines, and this is one you and I've talked about this before because it happens like every year, and then you're like, how does this happen? Two events in the Arizona Cardinals game against the Titans. First off, we'll go chronologically. Amari DiMercado, great name by the way.
It is.
How about a nice tall glass of Amari DiMercado? But anyway, he does this stupid.
Make it two.
He does this stupid. Take the ball out, and it's gonna like I'll drop it right at the line of scrimmage, at the goal line. In the old days, you take the ball into the end zone. You can spike it. I'll never understand why guys do this. Start celebrating the touchdown, drops the ball, touchback. That's huge. And then you get the deflection, interception, fumble, where Arizona starts kicking it around like it's the holy roller play.
And Cam Ward, who didn't do jack the entire game, leads them on a fourth quarter drive to kick the field goal and win the game. It's just typical, Mike. The Cardinals find ways to lose games. So they lose by 1 point, 22-21.
Did you see the sequence where Kyler Murray looks like he's been concussed? And he basically takes the snap off his face mask,
that's right.
Falls down, goes to the tunnel. No, I'm not going to the tunnel.
I'm okay.
What the hell? Man, that's some. You think we've had a bad stretch of 7 years? Those guys are still star-crossed.
They are. The game in our division, the other one that hurt, is Carolina beating Miami. Have they fired Mike McDaniel yet? What are they waiting on,
Coach
Bro?
But yeah, look, I don't get it.
He is.
He's
not
going to be a great offensive coordinator. He's just not head coach material.
Well, they blew a 17-point lead yesterday. Here's Bryce Young talking about beating his boy Tua Tagovailoa.
It's NFL. You can't pick and choose one win being more important than the other. They're all hard fought. I have a ton of respect for him. He played amazing, made a lot of great throws as he always does. But yeah, I mean, it's the league. You know, you take pride in every single challenge.
Yeah, then he finished with, but I beat him. That's what he said afterwards. Bryce, of course, and Tua, Alabama guys, you know the deal there. But yeah, that's their first. Carolina, man, they stole one yesterday.
How bad the Ravens look? Lamar Jackson on the sideline. Cooper Rush, 3 INTs.
Terrible.
And just absolutely terrible. We were just talking about, can C.J. Stroud step it up? Well, play the Ravens the way they look right now. 4 touchdowns, had his best game in arguably 2 years. Also, great to see Nick Chubb get in the end zone. For Georgia fans, all the injuries going all the way back to his time at UGA. But to Nick Chubb, 11 for 61 and a TD.
All right, we are going to spend more time on what we saw with the Patriots because the Bills beat them. And if you are the Falcons, are you looking at that and going, hey, we can mimic what they did last night? Understand, the Bills made a lot of mistakes, too. They got to cut down on some of the stuff that they did last night. But Drake May, 273, Mike, and you mentioned it, Stephon Diggs, 10 balls for a buck 46.
Yeah, with the bye week, I hadn't have Drake London, so I had to go for an option. I went with Diggs. I didn't make it personal. It was business, but he was rolling. He was working the crowd before the game. What do you think of those Bills uniforms last night?
Yeah, I don't like them.
I think Bills Mafia may say burn those after that effort last night.
Yeah, I don't like them at all. Hey, with Atlanta United season winding down, be sure to join Jason Longshore every Tuesday night for Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Guys, it's brought to you by your local Ford dealer. And you can listen Tuesday nights on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He keeps tabs on the international soccer scene as well. It's available the next day at the Off the Woodwork podcast on Odyssey. We're coming back. Steve Holman, the voice of our Hawks, joins us. Hawks preseason starts tonight. We'll get a little preview and what this team may look like. There's a lot of excitement in the air. It's Dukes and Bell.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We were just talking about all the things in the NFL. More on the Falcons coming up. Fourth and One brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. It is Dukes and Bell on a Monday, and we want to bring in our friend and longtime voice of our Atlanta Falcons, or excuse me, Atlanta Hawks, that is, Steve Holman. And Steve, you are starting your 41st season as the voice of the Hawks. Is that right? 41st?
Yeah, 41st season.
Wow.
Wait 1 second. Carl and Mike, hold on. Hey, Chipper, hold on. I have to go on with Carl and Mike. Hold on.
Congratulations. That is an amazing accomplishment, an incredible milestone. Steve has called, by the way, 3,083 consecutive games. For those who have no idea, this streak is incredible. And, Steve, we're about to embark on another season. How excited – first of all, before we talk about the team, how excited are you with what the moves that were made this offseason with this Hawks team?
Well, I think it's been phenomenal, really. And, hats off to Auntie for the job he did this summer and, all the rest of the staff there that was involved in all those deals. And, I was talking to him at shoot-around today, and it's exciting. And, Quinn's excited, too, because, he's going to see tonight for the first time – see how this all works. He was talking about trying to find the right fits here and there, and somebody asked him how long is he going to play regulars tonight. He goes, well, I don't even know who the regulars are yet, because you have to go through all of this. So it's going to be interesting, and it's a 4-game preseason, so I think we're going to see a lot of different things that we normally wouldn't see in a preseason time.
Carl mentioned to Steve, you've been doing this forever. And I know we feel for you sometimes, but this is one where I think this year you're going to have a lot of fun because, as Carl mentioned, it just seems like there's more talent going all the way back to that surprise run in 2021, which kind of started, with a new coach at the time. What do you think, though, about Porzingis? How do you think they handle Porzingis? Because at this stage of his career, they seem like they got to manage his minutes.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see because right now he's excited to be here. I mean, he really is. He's looking forward to playing with Trey, and I don't think it's just lip service. I think he really is. He's been, he's been out there with the guys and laughing and joking. And I think one of the big indicators was like last night we had team dinner here in Houston, and it's optional for players. They don't always have to go. They don't have to go to it if they don't want to, but everybody was there last night. So it was kind of exciting to see, and everybody's looking forward to this. And, I mean, there's talent up and down on this team. I mean, it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be tough for Quinn to fit everybody in there to get their minutes during the season. So it's a nice problem to have, certainly. And, Trey, I talked to him for a minute today. He's as excited as ever, he basically was saying he's like a kid in a candy store. You don't know who he's going to throw the ball to next. Who's going to score, So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And, with Porzingis, too, I mean, we had Tree Rollins. We've had Moses Malone. We've had a lot of great centers, Clint Capella even, But Porzingis is just kind of head and shoulders over anything we've ever had as far as offensively and just, he's 7'2". I mean, he's a huge guy. I mean, the thing is, you see him on TV or whatever, and even at the games in the stands, but when you stand next to him, he's a huge guy. So I'm excited about it. I I'm always excited about it. So, I mean, I look forward to every season. And on the 22nd, it'll really be exciting. You know, that'll be our first night at home and our first game. And, you know, I just think this is maybe our time.
I agree. Preseason Hawks basketball tonight. Hawks at Houston. Pre-games at 7:30, tips at 8. And by the way, Kansas City at Jacksonville. We are your home for the NFL as well. It's going to be on WAOK with the pregame starting at 7 and the kick at 8:15. Steve, talk about the importance of Jalen Johnson. I don't think we have seen his full potential, but we heard that this offseason he was out in L.A., worked out with LeBron a couple of times, is doing all these different things, working out with different guys. And I've heard, I'm not seeing him, does he look bigger? Is he bigger?
Yeah, he looks bigger. I think he actually may have grown a little bit. I don't know. But he's stronger. I know that. He's bulked up, and he's done everything he can possibly do to stay as healthy as possible this season, you know. So it's a big key that he stays healthy for us. And we haven't really seen him emerge for a whole season yet. And I think if he ever does, knock on wood, this will be the year. You know, he could be easily be 20 and 10, 20 and 12 before it's all said and done. And he also, you know, if you remember before he got hurt, he was averaging 5, 6, 7 assists per game too, to go along with that. So right. he's going to be very important. Reza Shea, he looks unbelievable too. He's bulked up. I mean, I was talking to him and I said, you know, geez, you look, you know, all bulked up. You're like Popeye. He was like, yeah, Popeye. That's it. You know, so he's got muscles and, I think everybody's just so excited about it, and they're looking forward to this all starting. And, you know, they've practiced now for a week, and I think they're looking forward to getting out there against somebody else.
Steve, we talked a lot. You just mentioned Jalen Johnson. I bet the over-under on this team, and, you know, eventually we'll be able to do this legally here in the state. I mean, 46.5 wins. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but with the Eastern Conference, you know, kind of in a state of flux right now. Boston is not the same team. They've kind of disassembled, had injuries. Indianapolis has lost their best player. So Indiana, I should say. It just feels like if ever there's a year we're going to lock in a playoff spot, if we can stay healthy, this is the season.
Yeah, you know, the goal always is to get in that top six now since they started the play-ins. And, you know, I think the goal might be even higher than that for this team this year. I mean, you know, the Knicks are going to be good. They were, you know, had a great season last year, and I think they're confident coming in, certainly. Cleveland's going to be interesting to me because I don't know if they're going to have any kind of a hangover from, you know, the great season that they had and then the way they got knocked out in the playoffs early. So it may be a little bit for them to come back from. So we'll be interested to see how they go. But I think certainly the Hawks should be in the top, you know, 3, 4, 5, at least in that Eastern Conference.
All right, Steve, as we talk about Coach Quinn and this staff, I've been saying, you know, this is arguably his best team that he'll have since he's been here.
Mm-hmm.
How much changes for him? Because he has more options now than he's ever had. Do you think we are a different-looking team? I'm not just talking about the personnel on the floor. Do we play differently?
Yeah, I think they really want to push the ball. I mean, they want to run. That was really an emphasis, you know, at practice this weekend, at shoot around today, especially, and the guys were having fun too, which is good. And Quinn was having fun, and he was, you know, one of the things that he's said over the last couple of years is, you know, we haven't been big enough, we haven't had the size to deal with some of these other teams, but now we're a pretty big team right now. And I think that, you know, Ansi took that to heart, that was one of the wish list things that he wanted, was more size. And we certainly have that now, starting with Porzingis. I mean, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see Porzingis and Onyeka play together. I don't know how much, but, you know, over the course of the season, I think we may see them both on the floor, depending on matchups.
It's our man Steve Holman. Bang! The voice of your Atlanta Hawks as we get ready for another campaign with Steve behind the mic right here on 92.9 The Game. The other thing about this team, which we like, and again, it's a maturation process for everybody. You know, guys 19, talking about Trey when he first got here. Just seems like Trey, especially we liked the way he handled the question about the contract. He kind of like, you know, boom, brushed it off, talked more about how excited he was about this team. So it seems like he's in the perfect spot to be the leader, the way he's taken Reese Hoshea under his wing, and just looking forward to this season with a guy who's now probably ready to play the best basketball of his career.
Yeah, you know, it's his eighth year, and I think he knows that it's time now, and he's been able to lead the league a couple of years in assists total, and I think now he's got the players around him that they're finally going to say, well, you know, instead of the yeah, but, every time they talk about him leading the league with that, they always say, yeah, but the wins. And now I think the wins are going to be there to go along with it. So, and I've seen some of the projections in the Eastern Conference too this year, and I think they're kind of overlooking the Hawks a little bit, which I think is fine with them. And as far as that contract thing with Trey, I don't think that's not in their, in his mind. I don't think it's in the management's mind right now. I think they kind of know that everything's going to work out. And especially if the season they have is what we think they're going to have, I don't think it's even going to be, you know, anything to even worry about at all.
I hope not. And I agree, Steve. Looking forward to an exciting season tonight. Again, Hawks preseason opener. It's on the road. Hawks at Houston. Steve Holman on the line with us. Steve, enjoy tonight. But as we get ready for the opening night again, it is October 22nd, correct? Home opener?
Yeah, home opener on the 22nd. Then we've got a rough week coming up right after that. You know, we have one more home game and then go out for a week. So, you know, the start's going to be kind of important, too, yeah. with all yeah. these, you know, trying to get everything together. And it may take 20, 25 games maybe to get things together as far as rotations and that kind of thing. So, you know, I don't want anybody to jump off buildings or anything else if they don't start off the way, you know, we're all hoping they do. So I think it's going to be fine. I'm looking forward to it, and I think it's going to be exciting.
Thanks. 46 and a half wins, Carl.
I'm going over, bro. I like this team. I do. Like, again, health is the concerning factor right. with every team, but if things go our way, man, I like this squad. Steve, thanks again. We'll look forward to talking with you throughout the course of the season, man. Appreciate you.
All right, guys. Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's there our man. Is. Steve is such a sweetheart, man. Just a good dude. And again, as we said, you know, when you think about guys that, you know, being known for their gig, and, you know, let's be honest. I mean, I don't say it was Steve on the air, but he's had such a lot of bad basketball.
No doubt.
You know, and now you feel like this is a year where they're going to, you know, reach, you know, the goal. And it's almost every conversation you and I have about the Hawks, it starts and ends with Jalen Johnson's health.
It does. Because he's that good.
Right.
Hey, coming up, guys, we'll find out about Day-Day. Where did he go? He had a heck of a road trip he's got to tell you about. We are going to get into the Mark Sanchez story, which is front and center for a lot of people around the NFL as into what happened. And I want to remind you, we've got your live college football coverage this Saturday, 8 a.m. We get things started with college football game time. And, yeah. It's brought to you by my friends at Window Nation, WindowNation.com, and Alumni Hall. Shop UGA, Bama, Tennessee, all your favorite schools. It's where fans shop. By the way, it sets the stage for the big matchups this weekend, 11:30. We have Ohio State taking on Illinois. And then we've got other games.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All weekend long, guys. It's Saturday. It's right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Dukes and Bell. Oh, what a perfect song, right?
He's bad at
that. Because that is what Day-Day did this weekend. Jumped on the road. Hope you had a great weekend. Great college football this weekend. Falcons were off with the bye. They'll be back in action next Monday night. We get Monday night tonight. It's Jags, Kansas City at Jacksonville, by the way. And again, that game will be on our sister station, WAOK. We've got Hawks preseason basketball, Hawks at Houston tonight as we thank Steve Holman for stopping by. Before we get to Day-Day, I know many of you are like, Dukes and Bell, what is the deal with this Mark Sanchez story? We're going to dive in. We are going to tell you our thoughts. Again, a lot of this, and we have to say, is alleged. Okay, he's not been charged. He has been charged, but he's not proven guilty. And so the crazy thing is now he's facing a felony charge, which has changed from even the morning to where we are now.
The guy, the truck driver that was in the altercation with this guy, I mean, my God. I mean, it looks literally like he was in a knife fight. So Sanchez got access to the weapon that he produced because he tried to pepper spray him. We'll get into it. But, yeah, I'm reading the article from the latest article from the Indianapolis Star, which is a pretty good source for information on this one. But, man, it's bad.
All right. With that said, because, again,
it's for Mark Sanchez.
And everybody's talking about this because it was just the most uncharacteristic thing that probably happened all weekend. And certainly you just kind of go, when I first heard, I'll tell you guys, I thought he got robbed. And I got up early Sunday morning. I was like, oh, Sanchez got robbed. This is terrible. And in Indianapolis, that's not what happened. So this it does look bad to Mike's point, but we'll share everything we know about it and give you our thoughts on it coming up. All right, we got to find out what's going on with Day-Day because I know you took a road trip this weekend, didn't you?
Oh, yes, I did. And before I get into the road trip, do you guys want to talk about picks? It wasn't a bad weekend for you, Carl, or for Orange.
I'm sorry, I said it again.
I said, did you guys want to
get
in
the picks?
Did you
go 2-1? No, that wasn't what I heard. The second part of that.
I said it wasn't a bad weekend for you or Orange.
Oh, okay.
So do you want to
reveal it? Let's rip. Let it rip.
All right, real quick.
Friggin' Penn State.
I took one on the chin this weekend. I went 1-2. My only win was the under on the Bama Vandy. Miss State, unfortunately, they held in there as long as they could, but then Texas A&M just opened up on them late in that one. And then I took it real bad on the chin with Nebraska and Michigan State.
What was the deal?
I took the under, which was 49, which they were at that going into the fourth quarter, but then 23 points scored between the two in the fourth quarter.
That was a high scoring game?
Yeah.
Okay. At the end, but I mean, it's a smart play and you're feeling good.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, Mike also, along with me, went 1-2. The Penn State, as he mentioned earlier, you guys both took that one, and that didn't go well for anyone. He did hit, though, on the over 53.5 for FSU-Miami, as well as taking the Colts 6.5.
Unfortunately, I'd like to take credit for that. I lost that. That's why I'm 1-2, because the over.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. I apologize.
If you want to give me, put me on the board at 2-1.
No,
Carl, I know what I heard. I know that's on the air. It's now carved in stone.
What was the
over-under was 53.5. It was at 50. Florida State made it look interesting late. They went for the onside kick, but touchdown Tommy, unfortunately, he noodle armed a couple of balls. One where he shouldn't have thrown, one where the receiver was open if he gets it out in a timely fashion.
He threw two picks, right?
Yeah, they're behind schedule. They get behind schedule early with a field goal in the first. If they kick the touchdown, I hit the over, but I didn't. And Carson Beck and Miami, as we said, very impressive. The size, the speed, athleticism, don't get it. Easiest game I had all week. I loved it from the start. It was the Colts -6.5.
Yeah.
They destroyed the Raiders at home tight end for the Raiders.
Brock Bowers.
Yeah, Brock Bowers was out. And Geno, it ain't good.
Yeah. All right. Orin went 3-0. Of course, he hit on the spread for Georgia. And then he took the Vikings. They hit that against the Browns. And then he also took Carl.
That's me. Yeah.
Day-Day, you're a hot mess.
I know. I'm all over the place. So he took Georgia and then he took the Bama by 10, and then he took Cowboys by 2. So he hit on that. Carl 2-1.
Yes, sir.
Hey, look at
all
you.
All right, 19.5
so
on Georgia.
I'm so proud of you.
Vikings, he took that 3.5, and then unfortunately the Penn State. I think Vegas probably was so happy on that one because they probably made a lot of money.
Oh, they did.
I don't even know a UCLA fan that would have bet that game.
Yeah.
If he was in Vegas over the weekend.
Again, 0-4, offensively erect. They fired their coordinator. They had a new play caller, new interim head coach.
Yeah.
It just set up for Penn State to go in there and handle it. And this tells you how unprepared James Franklin's team was.
There's so many cool memes about the UCLA win. As we said, you know, Nico goes out there and it's been a hot mess. But Rick Neuheisel's kid, again, he's been in charge of the offense for 2 days. And for those who don't know, Penn State hires Ohio State's DC.
That's right.
The highest paid defensive coordinator. Literally, you said it, Knowles gets lit up by a young man who's literally been on the job for 2 days and puts 42 on Penn State.
Yeah. They paid a lot of money to go get him, too.
Yeah.
So that's another wrinkle to this whole thing. The Colts guys are 4-1. They could easily be undefeated. And I'm only saying this because it's Daniel Jones and Mike picked that game. If you're not believing the Colts are for real, they ran the ball yesterday. It's just like, whoa, what has happened to the Colts? And then the Cowboys, man. I mean, the Jets are a bad football team.
Yeah.
So Dak is playing at an MVP level. As we mentioned, they were chanting MVP yesterday. It was kind of weird on the road. They asked Dak if he heard it. He said, my ears work. but I'm not thinking about it right now. So, but he's carrying the Cowboys. All right, Day-Day, tell us about this trip, man.
All right, man. So, listen, I highly recommend this for all my parents out there with young student athletes that aspire to go to college. So, not necessarily what we did on Saturday, but the experience level, and we'll get to that in a second. So, my son got a last-minute invite to Memphis.
Oh, nice. Congratulations. Football.
Yeah, so a very last-minute. Wasn't the full
visit
and all that kind of stuff, but my wife texts me in the middle of the show, like, super last-minute, what do you think? I'm like, what's the drive? She tells me, 5.5 hours. I was like, what time is the game? She's like, it's 7 o'clock their time. I was like, technically, it's doable. You know, depends on if we want to try to come back that night or just spend the night. But then we realize 13-year-old has a soccer game at 9 a.m. Sunday morning.
Wait a minute. You went all the way to Memphis and back?
All the way to Memphis and back.
Dang.
Full day.
So, full day. So, we hit the road about 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon, drive in, get in time about 30 minutes before kickoff, get into the stadium, enjoy the game. We actually leave just as the fourth quarter kind of got underway, just to give ourselves a nice little start getting back and whatnot, and got back in about 5 a.m. and was back up at it at 8 a.m. So anyway, I say all that to say this to all my parents out there dealing with student athletes, especially if you're freshman, sophomore. One of the reasons we did this, and it sounds crazy, why would you make that drive? And it started off of a conversation of me trying to explain to my son the difference between the NFL crowd and the college crowd. Mm-hmm. And I was just telling him, talking about how it was just completely different in the college level. And he was like, I don't understand. What do you mean? It's football. And I was like, you don't get it. I was like, okay, I know what we're going to do. We're going to travel around every year, try to hit as many games as we can.
And you guys have been doing this.
So we did it. Yeah. We started it 2 years ago, Clemson that year, and I can't remember where else. And don't get me wrong, he's been to plenty of Georgia Tech games, but even with Georgia Tech, that crowd is nowhere near when you go to a Clemson or when you go to an Auburn or wherever. So we started doing this. So that was the reason how this kind of all started. But the other thing is, he's a freshman, and it's now, granted, he can't get no offers right now and things of that nature, but he does want to go to college. He does want to play sports collegiately. So, son, you need to know what you need to start looking for now. There's no need to wait until he's a junior. And I'm saying this to all my parents out there of student athletes. If you can do it by any means necessary, start trying to travel, regardless of the sport. Start trying to travel. It's not necessarily about them being recruited, but it's about them getting their foot on a campus, kind of seeing what's going on. Does the campus, does the school offer academically what they're going to be looking for when it comes down to studies? So they can just get the whole feel so that when it does come down to junior year or even sophomore year, junior year, or even senior year in some cases, they already know what they want in the campus, right? And then the atmosphere and the experience. Now it's just a matter of getting those official visits and making a decision. So I really recommend it. And it's, again, we try to pick places that are, drivable, because obviously we can't fly to places. So we try to pick places that are drivable, make sense, anywhere from 2 to – we weren't 5 hours, 6 hours. Wasn't really on the radar, but
– Hey, it happened. Opportunity presented.
Exactly.
You got to get out there.
So, yeah.
6 hours. Oof. And that drive, for those who made that,
Yeah. Well,
going and coming, because I went up – I drove there for the Tyson Lewis fight. God. Coming back?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just relentless on 24.
Well, let me tell you, because of me getting back right back up at 8 a.m. yesterday, and at
that
point.
Did you go 20? Did you go 20?
Yeah, we went 20 up through Alabama and then, hit that, to go up to Mississippi and then, right there. I didn't realize, this is my first time in Memphis. Been in Tennessee, but never Memphis. I didn't realize they were right there at the border, basically, once you cross into Tennessee. So, but because of doing all that and getting right back up at 8 a.m., instead of taking a nap at some point, I just powered through, did all my honey-do list things, had the games on.
That's a big weekend.
Put them together. Put them together for our man, Day Day. Father of the year.
Yeah, I made it to the first half, through the first half
of the
Bills game.
What do you mean you wiped through? You did all that and you wiped through a honey-do list? Man, you damn, son.
Hey, man, listen, it's just the world we live in today, man.
Wow.
Told you, I got to hold my weight, man. I got to stay in shape, and I got to get the honey-do list.
She's not leaving you, fam. She's not leaving you. Did your son enjoy the trip?
He did. He enjoyed it. Right. And again, this is just another school for him to just get, what is this campus life like here? Yeah. What is it like? So I'll tell you what, man, Memphis, that crowd is It's I would say because football is the only thing in
Dirty
town.
South.
Well, I would just say you know what you know the
it's like their pro team.
Yeah, so it the is, attendance was kind of like a microcosm of what Memphis is.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't like a you know again you go to a Clemson or up to Athens where you know it's just that pure like these are the college fans. Memphis is kind of everybody.
Right.
You know what
it
I mean?
It is kind of like their pro team. You're right.
It
You're
is.
Right.
It is. We were talking about this. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Day-Day Sharon, he went on a roadie this weekend for his son to go up there on a last-minute trip. His boy, by the way, plays corner, and he's a freshman in high school, so they were just trying to make a road trip. But it's great advice, man. We know there are a lot of parents that listen. One of the guys we work with, and Knox, I'm going to put your business out there because Knox is one of my neighbors. He lives just you know a little ways from where I am at. His daughter is one of the top softball players in the country, and I remember going back a few years ago, and we were having this conversation about the process and, you know, what this is all about. It can be overwhelming and in some cases daunting, but you need to allow them to get these experiences. And that's so, Adede, I'm glad you're talking about it because we know we have a lot of parents that listen who are dealing with a very similar situation, or they will be shortly. Mm-hmm, yeah. And so I'm glad you're talking about it, man. I just wanted to say this, though, but Memphis, Mike, they, you know, the cool thing about Florida State or, you know, the bigger schools, obviously, Texas, Georgia, it doesn't matter. But
stadiums on campus.
Yes. Having that is a huge benefit.
Yeah.
And for a school like Memphis, to Day-Day's point, like even when Cal was there, I was telling him with the basketball program, and they were rolling. They played at the Pyramid back in the day.
Right.
They didn't have an on-campus, you know, facility where you could go and it felt like it was just different. And then they built the arena for the Grizzlies, and they were like, well, y'all just come in here and play.
Right.
You know,
look, with the Dolphins, you know, or the Hurricanes sharing the Hard Rock. I mean, 30 miles north of Coral Gables. And when they're not good, like, it is what it is. Everybody's on the bandwagon again. Miami fans, it's like there's a lot of this around the country. Just is what it is today.
It is.
So a lot of folks will fill it up. But yeah, usually it's an easy ticket. It's half empty. Mm-hmm. And you miss it. The Orange Bowl, you know, again, it was a dump. I love the Orange Bowl because it had character. It was a lot of fun. That's where the Marlins Stadium is now. But to Day-Day's point, yeah, Memphis, yeah, it's a little funky. Memphis is a little, you know.
Yeah, only thing
head on a swivel, Carl. Head on a swivel.
Only thing I hated was the fact that, you know, you hear all this good stuff about the barbecue and all that, and we weren't there long enough to do any of that. Because, like I said, it was my first time in Memphis. My mother.
I thought Beale's. I didn't realize when I was on Beale Street. I was like, oh, this is it? Okay. Okay, do a U-turn. I just walked off a pitch. You know, you feel like it's been like New Orleans. That's obviously New Orleans.
You know what? It's funny that you said that. That's the first thing I said to my wife. I was like, I get New Orleans vibes here. As far as like just the people that we were around. I was like, it has a very New Orleans vibe.
Every
to
river
it.
Town. You know, Louisville's like that.
That's true.
It used to be like that. There's nothing going on in Louisville now.
Nope.
But, yeah, I'm with Day-Day, man. So, Day-Day's trip to the Dirty South and back.
Good stuff, Day-Day. And again, man, it's all about your son, so I'm glad he enjoyed it. Hey, man, coming up, we've got a lot more to dive into. Dog Report's on the way. We started the show talking about it, and some of you didn't like it. But it's real. It's true. And you can't deny it. We'll tell you what that is when we come back. And our boy DJ Shockley, Fox 5, is going to stop by.
Now say it right.
Fox 5. He's going to give us the lowdown on the Dogs and what he thinks about the Falcons as we head back to action this week. Not tonight. Next Monday, the Bills come to town. Shock's going to join us at about 4:20. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.